Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you today. Bill Jack from Worldview Academy, also in studio with us as we are witnessing, playing out before us, even as we speak, the next chapter of America in God's providence. It is great to be on the front row of history, watching the works of God play out, because remember, ultimately, the lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord. Remember that all of history is God's works. It is the outworking of God's providence, and we are watching God's providence working its way out in American history, adding another chapter in America, in God's providence. Of course, that's our 1,000-page history of the United States of America, from Columbus to Trump, and we are seeing that play out even as we speak. The biggest political news of the 21st century played out in just the last week. Elections in Britain and the impeachment of President Donald Trump. Bill, elections in Britain over the weekend apparently was the biggest overturn of the Liberal Labour Party since 1935. This is a shocker, I'm sure, to the Liberals, but God does whatsoever he will in the armies of heaven. Nobody can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" God is doing what he will, and it's shocking the media. The Conservatives gained 47 seats and the Labour lost 59 in the election just this last week. The big slogan for the Conservatives was "Get Brexit Done." Now, the PM, Boris Johnson, is tasked with forming a new parliament this week and getting her done.
Getting her done. You know, you said that we're on the front row, but Kevin, I got news for you.
Yeah.
You know, I got a new cushy chair here.
Yeah,
it's a different cushy chair. It's not new, but I feel like I'm in the storage unit of the bunker. I got all kinds of stuff around me here. Well, and you're sitting over there on the throne. I have to look up at you. You know what's going on here?
The good news is that God is in the heavens and He's accomplishing His sovereign will.
He's on the throne,
and we are watching.
Yeah,
we are watching.
I just feel like a minion over here.
Okay, all right.
Let's do some redecorating. Okay,
man, yeah. Bill, yeah. It just doesn't get too fancy. We don't want anybody to get a fat head in the studio here.
Yeah, I'm in the storage unit.
Uh huh. Okay. Well, that's pretty much. Yeah, that's our studio.
And that's where the Liberals are in Britain. In the
and that's
UK.
Where they are in the United States as well.
That's right. They're headed to the storage unit because not only did that happen in the UK, but what we're seeing happening here is going to put the Liberals in a very bad position. They're going to be put on the shelf if they don't play this. Well, they've already put themselves on the shelves. Because they have misplayed their hand.
This impeachment is a nothing burger. It's turned out to be nothing. CNN, this was a media production, if nothing else. This was a battle of the medias. I'm going to get to that in just a moment. But CNN blew it. They overcorrected on this one. It's clear to me. They blew it.
Well, their viewership has been dwindling rapidly since the Russia collusion faux pas. It continues to plummet, but they continue to hang on, and they continue to be spokesmen for the ultra left.
Well, what we're seeing, I think, in the Britain elections and with what's happening in America with the election of Donald Trump as president of our United States is an increased move away from internationalization, move away from centralization to decentralization, nationalization. But the national unity is cracking as well in the United States. We're heading towards a destabilization of entire nations. The largest and most powerful nations on Earth are seeing something of a destabilization. And what used to be the strong EU is slowly but surely disintegrating all around us. And this is, of course, the Babel principle. God is always moving us from a centralization tendency towards a decentralization. We're seeing that happen in real history over just the last week. On the Gallup rating, President Trump has hit the highest polarization numbers in history early this year. The Republican to Democrat approval gap on Donald Trump hit 79% this year. Clinton, it was 61%. For Reagan, it was 19%. For Kennedy, back in the 1960s, it was 14%, meaning the polarization of the United States is the greatest it has ever been in history, perhaps. The Brookings Institute survey found that Donald Trump was the most polarizing president thus far. Lincoln, Polk, and Buchanan along with him. The least polarizing were Carter, Grant, Truman, and John Quincy Adams. In the study, Presidents Buchanan and Trump were generally considered the most disliked president by certain factors or factions. Buchanan, because he was incapable of keeping us out of civil war, and that's why they consider him to be the most polarizing president of the 19th century. Well, the media, I think, makes a difference on this one, Bill. Nixon's job approval ratings went from 60% to 25% pretty quickly around 1973 to 1974, and the media was not going to help him. Meanwhile, Bill Clinton, his job approval ratings during the impeachment went from 60% to 73%, largely due to the media. So on the one hand, with Nixon, media went against him whole hog. On the side of Clinton, the media pretty much universally supported him through the impeachment proceedings. However, for Trump, it has been a catfight in the media. There is a split right down the center. So media has a big part to play in the 1970s and the 1990s and the 2010s as well. And the bottom line is the nation is divided, at least as bad as the division that occurred somewhere around the time of the Civil War, shortly before the Civil War.
Now, part of that is that during the Clinton administration, there was no alternative to the mainstream media.
Fox News really hadn't gained its ascendance at that point. Right. Now you've got the Fox News versus everybody else. Fox News being the highest rated news program by a long shot, meaning that they found a niche, and that niche was to speak to
those who are conservative and those who hold to more traditional values.
Yep, that's right. So the difference is ultimately playing out in the media being a big part of the division right down the center of the United States. And we'll be back with more in just a moment on the Generations broadcast. This may be the most important little conference in the year 2020. Folks, we are facing the largest worldwide multinational persecution in the history of the Christian church right now. Christian families, let's introduce our children to the Christian life, because it is through much tribulation that we shall enter the kingdom of God. Now, this conference is to be held in Victoria, Texas, and it will increase awareness of the persecuted body of Christ. Space is very limited, but registration is free. By the way, the first 30 registrants will receive a copy of Taking the World for Jesus. Register today at SouthTexasBibleConference.com. That's SouthTexasBibleConference.com. And we are back on the Generations Radio broadcast. Kevin Swanson with you, Bill Jack, also with me in studio today as we talk about a day that will live on into infamy, not so much for the Republicans, but for the Democrats in their attempt to bring about an impeachment of the President of the United States on questionable, highly questionable reasons. And friends, we're not going to go over all that one more time because we dedicated an entire program to it. What was it, 2 weeks ago? Well, this being the most polarizing president in history, and I think the data seems to bear that out. But why? I guess that's a question that's going to come back again and again. Why? What is it that people do not like about the President of the United States? I think the most basic thing you can say about him is that, well, Donald Trump, it's not that he's pro-life. It's not that he's going after family values. It's not that he has reined in government. It's not like he's reduced the federal deficit. No, it's more, it's higher than it was under the previous president. And his increases are higher than the previous president. But I think the big thing I was going to say is that I think the issue is that he's not a snowflake. I mean, he is not a snowflake. If there, you could use a lot of adjectives and descriptive terms for the President of the United States. You will never use the term snowflake for Donald Trump.
And he's a fighter. I mean, he's a street fighter, as opposed to previous Republican presidents who have let the opposition and the media, you know, say bad things about him and not respond. He will punch back. I mean, compare George W. Bush to Donald Trump.
He's a nice guy.
Yeah.
George W. Bush was a nice guy.
Nice guy. And So they would take advantage of him in the media, and the Democrats would use him as a punching bag, and he decided he wasn't going to get in the gutter. Well, we've got a president now who says, I'm not afraid to get down and duke it out with the opposition, because he's not going to sit on the sidelines when they tell lies or when they exaggerate. He's going to come back after them.
Again, we're trying to come down to why all of this impeachment proceedings, why the gigantic split that's going down right down the center of American government, even as we speak.
I think there's one other thing. I think there's one thing that is in the background of every Democrat's mind who wants to impeach the president, and it has to do with the judiciary. The Democrats know they cannot win in the ballot box on these issues, that the tide is turning against them on abortion, that their push of the homosexual agenda has now gone across the line for most Americans, and they will not win that battle except in the judiciary. And that's where they have won it in the past. But Donald Trump has appointed more and more conservatives to the bench in key positions than any other president.
And it's very possible that the judiciary will move more towards states' rights and the decentralizing policies to support the local states, and the decentralization trend will continue in the United States as it is going on in the UK right now. Why do people hate President Trump? Well, certainly he pulled us out of the Paris Agreement. That did not make the liberals happy. Immigration policies, et cetera, et cetera. Friends, it appears that the number one reason why people do not like Donald Trump is because he is no snowflake. Here's a Wall Street Journal op-ed article. Very interesting. Came out just a week or two ago. The leftists I know, according to this op-ed article, do hate Mr. Trump's vulgarity, his unwillingness to walk away from a fight, his bluntness, his certainty that America is exceptional, his mistrust of intellectuals, his love of simple ideas that work, and his refusal to believe that men and women are interchangeable. And it is probably true that his opposition to the quote-unquote establishment has bothered the establishment, at least on the left. That is, they don't have a free ride to bring out whatever the establishment agenda is all about.
I find it rather humorous that they are concerned about his vulgarity. Well,
they're just about as vulgar as he is, not more so.
If not more so.
Yeah.
And they just try to couch it, or they try to hide it behind the curtain.
Well, we're answering the question, friends. What's going on here? Why the massive animus against the president of the United States on the part of the left? And why the massive polarization of a nation? Why the destabilization? Why the nation divided against itself? Much like what we saw with President Buchanan in the 19th century. And I think the answer is obvious how did I start the program? Because God. God is a factor, my friends. God is sovereign. God wants America destabilized. God wants a polarization in America, and he's getting it. God upsets nations and empires when he wants to. You know, people get emotional over dumb things. People are fragile. They tip this way or that way on a whim. And only Christ can hold everything together. I like Ephesians chapter 1 that states that Jesus Christ is over all things to the church. Colossians chapter 1 also likewise, by him all things consist, which means, you know, how in the world do political systems and entire ecosystems hold together? Friends, I've got one answer to that, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to back up and say, now, wait a minute, it's in his hands. He's got the whole wide world in his hands, including our nation.
You're not going to start singing, are you?
I'm about ready to.
Okay.
I'm about ready to. All right, my friends, it is a political destabilization going on even as we speak. You know, the bottom line is the EU is cracking. Are you sensing? Are you hearing? I'm hearing cracking.
Yeah. I'm
hearing cracking.
Because, you know, you look at how solid that was, and you thought, oh, this is, you know, some people would say it's fulfilling Bible prophecy, you know, and then you look at it and it goes, it's disintegrating.
Yeah.
It's coming apart.
The foundations of the nation are cracked. The economic, the cultural, the social, the moral, the political foundations of America are mostly cracked. Now, that's how I end America in God's Providence. I have no idea what the next chapter will hold. We don't know what the next chapter will hold. But, you know, God brings these empires down again and again and again. And we cannot have massive, centralized systems that oppose Christ and his anointed. He that sits in the heavens shall laugh. He shall have them in derision. Kiss the sun, lest he be angry, and you perish from the way, lest his anger be kindled but a little. Friends, that's directed towards the great empires. And I don't see America kissing the sun. I don't see a humility about the nation itself. By the way, it's interesting that those men who pushed the hardest for large centralized governments were the most unchristian of the presidents. I think of Woodrow Wilson or FDR. Or even Abraham Lincoln, who was not a church attender. Some say he might have professed faith at the very, very end of his life. Some of the pastors witnessed something like that happening, but certainly not a devoted Christian. But you think of Woodrow Wilson. These guys thought they could have large governments, world governments, without Christ. And Woodrow Wilson being the significant centrist of the last century, the son of a Southern Presbyterian minister, discontinued Bible classes at Princeton University, consulted Ouija boards, and developed a whole new concept of government based on Darwin. This is what he wrote around 1907. Quote, living political constitutions must be Darwinian in both structure and practice. And he had an entire book written on how to bring Darwinian thinking into modern political constitutions. That, my friends, was President Woodrow Wilson, who also was the first president to take God's name in vain publicly. These big centrist presidents were the most apostate. They were the ones building humanist governments, big world governments without Christ. These are the roots of the United Nations, the modern United States, and the European Union, friends. It reminds me of Genesis 11, verse 4. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower whose top is in the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the face of the whole earth. Does that sound like Woodrow Wilson to you? Does that sound like
the United Nations?
It sure does. Yeah. But the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men has made. This is kind of, you know, it's a little interesting. Not that he didn't know what was going on, right, but he just wanted to come down and get a closer look at it. Yeah. Comes down, takes a look at it, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, nothing that they propose to do will be withheld from them. Come, let us go down, and there confuse their language, that they may not understand one another's speech. Let's create political parties. Let's create different cultures. Let's create different languages. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they ceased building the city. Therefore, its name is called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad from the face of all the earth. I call this the Babel principle, in which man attempts to centralize, and then God shows up and decentralizes. Then we inevitably go through dark ages. Humanists, centrists, typically call the dark ages, because that's a period of time in which they're not proud and they're not building their empires.
Right, and everything's fairly stable.
Yeah. That's right, exactly, till the big empire builders, the Nimrods and others, show up one more time, and then we begin to rebuild the tyrannies. Well, friends, the nations tend to separate on cultural inclinations, language preferences, and the like. But here, let's remember, friends, let's remember this. This is the principle I want to leave you with, and that is that only in Jesus Christ do we see a reversal of this. It's not that we want to see gigantic empires, centralized systems form. For one thing, man doesn't do well with these sorts of things. They develop tyrannies out of this.
It's like watching a little kid with building blocks.
Yeah.
Because they stack them up, you know, and then pretty soon another little kid comes along and knocks them all over. Or they just topple on themselves.
That's right. They always want
no foundation.
They always want to build the tower so high it falls down. Yes. You know, one last little block on the very, right, very tippy top, and what happens? It starts to become a little bit wobbly, and that's exactly what's going on with the United States of America, friends. You can't build this tower so high. It will become wobbly, and then you'll begin to see it start to crack and then to crumble, and that's the way it goes. But, friends, it's interesting. In Acts chapter 2, what happens in Acts chapter 2? Nations are gathered in Jerusalem. Remember Pentecost? And the people of God in the upper room come running out, speaking in a variety of languages, communicating the wonderful works of God to the nations. Friends, that's a reversal of Babel. The unity of the church, the cross-pollination, the internationalization of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has no boundaries. The church has no boundaries. I think I've been in 7 different nations this year, Bill. worshiping with God's people in seven countries around the world just this last year. And hey, we're part of the same church, part of the same kingdom. So the only possibility of a unity comes with the Church of Jesus Christ. But guess what happens when you have nations like the United States and Canada and England and Scotland and Germany persecuting Christians and not falling down on their faces and worshiping the living Christ? What happens then? Well, they build their towers. They lift their hand and they offend God by approving of abortion and homosexual marriage. And, well, what is it now? 99.9% of Western nations have approved of homosexual marriage and thereby shaken a fist in the face of Almighty God. Friends, that's where the nations are. They've gathered against the Lord and His anointed. But hey, it's the church in which we begin to see the true unity. And when it comes to the political magistrate, hey, just push for a decentralization, whereas the church will continue to maintain something of a unity across borders, and so it should be. Listen to the end game in Revelation chapter 7, verses 9 through 12. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one can number, of all nations, tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. And all the angels stood around the throne, the elders and the four living creatures, and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. You notice that passage does not say that a great multitude which no man can number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne of some amazing president of the United States or some premier of China, clothed in white robes, etc., saying salvation belongs to the state, salvation belongs to the United Nations, salvation belongs to man, and salvation from all of the pains and all of the disease and all of the problems in the world belongs to the United Nations or to the United States State Department. You notice it doesn't say that. It doesn't attribute the praise and the worship and the honor to the state. It attributes it to Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb on the throne and will be forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that wraps up this edition of the Generations Radio broadcast. Friends, you can interact with the program by emailing me at host@kevinswanson.com. And if you want to catch up on the other 82 chapters of America and God's Providence, we just talked about chapter 83, but if you'd like the rest of the story, grab a copy of America in God's Providence at our website, kevinswanson.com or generations.org. We also have a study guide that goes with it. This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.